Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, world. Hello, world. How you doing? And welcome to the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio, where I'm your host this evening, Servant Jason Felix. How you doing this evening, my people? Today's a very special day. Today is my first one-year anniversary with the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, and I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad that you're here with me. I have callers from all over the country on here tonight. I am seeing the love. Thank you. So today, my people, we're going to explore the mysteries of God today. I just want you to recognize who you are and whose you are, and we got to recognize that God is love. So before we even go any further, I'd like to say a quick prayer of faith. Oh, first of all, as I speak and intercede for everybody, I just want God to know that all praises are due to him. So, Father, you got to recognize that our boasting is totally excluded. You see, our justification is not by our works, but through our faith in you. So we are convinced right now by Paul, as we read these words of the Bible tonight, that a person is justified by faith and not by works of the law. You see, you are a God not only of the Jews, but of all other nations also. And you are the one God, the only God, the God of all people everywhere. Now, on the basis of whether people put their trust in you instead of themselves, You justify people from every nation and race. Oh, wonderful God you are. We're so in awe of you, and we just want to thank you for putting faith in our hearts and accepting us. And it is in the name of Jesus that we ask all this and lay claim to the grace which you so graciously extended. So we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And it's in the matchless mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. How are you doing this evening, my people? So before I go and jump into this lesson, I just want you to start doing your thing. I need this year, the year of 2022, is a year of what we call great, 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 great abundance. I'm talking about everything that is owed to you is coming to you, and I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready for that. I hope you're ready because a shaking is about to occur. I'm trying to tell you, it's coming your way. But I want you to let the world know that you are righteous today. Because then I want to give you some quick scripture. I believe it was John chapter 17, verse 20 and 23, where it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. You see, I want to just get real plain and simple tonight. You see, over the years, the church has come up with all kinds of elaborate ways to evangelize the world. And you see, we get together and we map our plans and strategies and raise money for it. But through it all, we rarely mention the plan that Jesus gave us. You see, most believers don't even realize that he gave us the key to winning the world. But he did. You see, he prayed about it right before he went to the cross. He asked the Father to bring us into a place of such oneness with each other and with him, that the world would know that he had been sent from God. You see, if you and I and all the rest of the body of Christ would just get together and start loving on each other, we'd evangelize the world so fast it would make your head spin. I'm trying to tell you, it's so true. I ain't lying, you see. But until recently, we got to recognize we've been too busy scrapping with one another and getting our feelings hurt to give it much thought. But praise God, say it with me, but praise God, it's beginning to dawn on some people now that we need to stop that sort of thing. You see, we need to start treating Jesus' command that we love one another as a command instead of an alternative. We need to drop our silly arguments and be unified by the Spirit of God. Now, here's the thing. Do you want to take a step toward evangelizing the world today? If so, then start praying for oneness. I need you to make up your mind that you're going to start loving your fellow believers instead of criticizing, complaining, and talking ugly about them. You see, I need you to start confessing that the church of God, right, is going to rise up together in faith and love as one glorious body, driven by the power of Jesus himself. You see, we are, you know, got to recognize that Jesus prayed that it would happen, and the Holy Spirit is already beginning to bring it to pass. You see, but here's the thing. Satan would love to stop it, but guess what? He can't. I said it. He can't. It's far more powerful than he is, and it's going to blast a hole in his operation that's big enough to drive a train through. You see, it's going to let the whole world know that Jesus truly is Lord. I'm trying to tell you, I love that right there. And this is what I'm going to give you some scripture on that so you can recognize where I'm going, because I need you to let the world know who you are and whose you are. So with that being said, let me give you that scripture, and that was John, I believe, chapter 17, verses 9 through 26. And in that verse it says, I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. So sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love in which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, isn't that just beautiful, knowing who you are and whose you are? I'm trying to tell you, God is love. This is an exciting evening for me, celebrating 1 year of Blog Talk Radio and able to give the word and give it to you straight with no chaser. And I need you to recognize, my people, that you are righteous, and we're going to jump into that right about now, just so that you can recognize what's going on. And when we come to the break, when we come back, we're going to open up the mics for discussion. So right now, I just want to take you on a little trip for you to recognize who you are and whose you are. I want you to let the world know that you are righteous. You see, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, I don't care how badly you have messed things up yesterday or how many mistakes you have made. I want you to begin right now knowing that you are righteous, not because of anything you've done, but because you've received by faith in Jesus the very righteousness of God. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but you got all kind of benefits. You see, if you look at the kind of benefits the Word of God says about your righteousness, it would just make your head say, hallelujah. Watch this. Psalms 92 and 12. You might want to write this down. Psalms 92 and 12 tells us the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Come on now. Let me give you Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. Oh, I'm going to keep it going. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21 says, the seed of the righteous shall be what? Delivered. And then I'm going to give you 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, because he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And then I'm going to give you Psalms, I believe it was chapter 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him and as with a shield. Ah, then there's Psalm 34 and 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What about Psalm 37, verse 25? I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I may even give you Psalm 37, verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And one of my favorites is this one, Psalms 146 and 8. The Lord loveth the righteous. I'm just talking tonight because I need you to recognize, and I need you to watch this. Don't let the devil rob you of even one of these blessings by telling you you're unworthy of them. I need you to dust your shoulders off and shout out loud, I am the righteousness of God. Then step out and enjoy the privileges that God has prepared just for you. You see, the God has a blessing with your name on it. You have to recognize and hear that small voice. Let me give you some scripture that we will hop into tonight. It is in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 28. Now, this is the righteousness of God in here. So this is righteousness through faith. Now, in the scripture, it says plainly, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the sacrifice of atonement by his blood effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. You see, it was to prove to the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? Is it excluded? By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Oh, we're going to jump into that tonight. I hope y'all ready, because that is real deep and it's talking about you and it got your name, because I'm coming straight down your aisle. I'm coming through your phone ways. I'm coming through your internet. I'm coming to you because right now I'm about to talk about the availability of a righteousness from God. Now, before we go to break, we're going to jump into this a little bit, because here's the thing. In verse 21, chapter 3 in the book of Romans, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, I want you to recognize about the righteousness of God, because in the scripture, some believe that it should be a righteousness of God instead of the righteousness of God, since the article is absent in the Greek. You see, this righteousness is, my people, is not an attribute of God, because he says that he will not share his glory with another, nor is it the righteousness of man. You see, God has already said that, I believe in Isaiah chapter 64 and 6, that our righteousness are as filthy rags. And you know God is not taking in no dirty laundry, not at all. Then you ask the question, then what righteousness is Paul speaking of? You see, it is the righteousness which God provides. I believe Christ has become our righteousness. You see, in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 1, verse 30, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And also we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be right, the righteousness of God in him. You see, it's very important, my people, to recognize that God is the one who provides this righteousness. Don't get it twisted. It's not something that you and I can work out, but rather it is something that God has provided for us. You see, a righteousness that God demands, God also provides. Now, this, my people, is a righteousness that is apart from the law. That is, you can't get it, my people, by doing something or keeping something, that not even God's law. You see, you can't keep the law to begin with. See, God can't save you by law for the very simple reason that you can't measure up to it. You see, God can accept imperfection, and you and I cannot provide perfection. Are you with me? Therefore, he cannot save us by law. It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, my people. That means that the law bore witness to it, and that at the very center of the Mosaic system was a tabernacle where bloody sacrifices were offered, which pointed to Christ. Also, the prophets witnessed to it when they spoke of the coming of Christ, his death and resurrection. For example, I believe Isaiah prophesied, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That was Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and verse 10. You see, both the law and the prophets witnessed to this righteousness that God would provide in Christ. Oh, I hope you're with me. I hope you ride along this journey, because in the next verse, in verse 22, he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, it was about, when I was young, I thought that the grace of God had to go way down to reach bad sinners, but didn't have to go down far to reach others who weren't so bad. But now I know that God's grace has to go all the way to the bottom to get all of us. Ain't no difference. Each one of us is completely lost outside of Christ. See, either you are absolutely saved in Christ, or you are completely lost outside of Christ. See, all of us need the righteousness of Christ, my people. There is no difference, is what I need you to recognize. You see, the righteousness of Christ comes to us through our faith in Christ. You see, great men of the past have even given some crazy definitions of this righteousness, and it's been very, very, very interesting to read. I think some people say, under law, God required righteousness from man. And it says, under grace, he gives righteousness to man. The righteousness of God is that righteousness which God's righteousness requires him to require. That is a deep definition, but I found a good one. And it was from Dr. Charles Hodge, and he said that righteousness of which God is the author, which is of avail before him, which meets and secures his approval. Ooh. I might have went over your head. You see, that righteousness which the Father required, the Son became, and the Holy Spirit convinces of all, and faith secures. I hope I just broke that down for you so that you could get it. You see, the sum total of all that God commands, demands, approves, and himself provides. I don't believe it can be said any better than the way that I just put it to you. Now, this righteousness that I'm talking about, as you have seen, is secured by faith, not by works. But let's look at these verses together. I'm going to read verse 22 and 23 together right quick for you. It says, for even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mm. Now, let me give you a free rendering of these verses. Even the righteousness from God, which is obtained by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the approval of God, the glory. You see, that is righteousness, my people, by faith, not by works. You see, the Lord Jesus made clear when they asked him, what shall we do that we might work for the works of God? See, Jesus answered and said unto them, John 6, 28 and 29, that this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. See, an important thing about securing this righteousness of God, my people, is not that there's any merit in your faith or that there's merit in just believing, because actually faith is not a work on your part. Ooh, I hope I just got you. You see, the object of faith is the important thing. I believe somebody put it like this. It's not thy hope in Christ which saves you, it's Christ. It's not thy joy in Christ that saves you, it is Christ. And it is not thy faith in Christ that saves you, though that be the instrument, it is Christ's blood and merit. Now, my people, it's very important to nail into your thinking this evening. You see, and that righteousness, my people, is like a garment. It is available to all, but it only comes upon all that believe. And then he says that it needs, that is needed by everyone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean that there is not a difference in sinners. Let me illustrate this with a very homely illustration. let's suppose that we people here in Detroit, I'm calling you today, I'm coming out of Detroit, Michigan, where it could be sunny one day and then snowing in the next minute. But what I want you to recognize that we all used to play a game, and that game was called hide and seek, right? But the thing was, who could be found in the snow? All you had to do was follow the footsteps. So what I'm saying to you is that I'm giving you a formula right now, and I want you to follow it. And it's very important. You have to come up to the glory of God. That's what I want you to recognize. You do not have to come up to the glory of God. You cannot attain it. You cannot attain it. You have to be diligent. You have to believe in order to receive. That's how this thing works. What I want to do right now is I want to take a pause for the calls. I want you to go grab you a drink. When we come back, I want to open up these mics, and I just want you to let the world know who you are and whose you are, because at the end of the day, we got to go on and do something. How my man say, ain't nobody worrying. We got to care.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low, all they're doing is tying their shoestrings. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read? Then our babies turn to crime, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow. Cause ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. When the tears start to fall and you can't see your way, just will carry on.
Streets for these kids, man. But ain't nobody worrying, but we worrying, we praying, we interceding, we standing in the gap, we saying that we put the buck stops now. This is the season, this is the season. I'm trying to tell you, God about to shake some things up. That's why I'm trying to tell you, I need you to recognize who you are and whose you are when this thing happens, so that your purpose can be revealed for your rule in life. So right now, I want to open up the mics right now if you want to share anything about this story, that I'm, these rules and these regulations that I'm talking about in the Lord. If so, I want you to press 1 on your mic, and I'll let you right on in. Do we have anybody that'd like to come on and talk to the world right now? All right, all right. I can keep on teaching and keep on preaching. It's not a problem. But I got a caller, 8815. You're live on the line.
Good afternoon, Elder Felix. This is Mr. Brother Calvin Harris calling from Detroit, Michigan. And I've been hearing you about talking about the goodness of the Lord and the righteousness. But I've been through it, and I understand the light. Because he just brought me from things that I've been through to now the present time. And I just want to thank him for watching over me and keeping me in his loving arms.
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name.
Because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here. He saw my need.
Amen.
And brought me to where he wanted me to be at. And right now, I'm thinking that I'm there, but I'm not there yet. But as much space I need to know that whatever it is, it's coming my way. And I believe in it. And people can see it. I don't see it, but they can see it in them.
Yes. He said nobody puts a lamp on their bed. They put it on a lampstand so it can shine. And
that's
who you are, Brother Calvin. That light.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for your comment tonight. Yes, yes, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Oh, that is beautiful. So, what I like here, my good people, is that God shows love to everybody. We all go through things. We all are always tested. But when you stand on faith, you might not even understand what you're standing on. Things just seem to go your way when you don't panic, when you learn about patience, when you learn about endurance, when you learn about stability, when you learn about everything that it takes for you to persevere in this life. Because what I want you to recognize is this next verse that I'm talking about. It's in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, and it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I'm about to take you out of school right quick. I don't want to talk over your head. I just want to talk to you so that I can talk and get you there. Watch this. Freely, right? Being justified freely, you see, in the Greek is called dorian, which is translated in John, I believe, chapter 15, verse 25, as without a cause. Or, you see, our Lord Jesus said that they hated him freely without a cause. There is no basis for it. Now, Paul is saying being justified freely without a cause, and there is no explanation in us. God doesn't say, oh, they are such wonderful people. I'll have to do something for them. You see, as we have seen before, there is nothing in us that would call out the grace of God other than our great need. You see, we are justified without a cause. It is by his grace, which means that there is no merit on our part. You see, grace is unmerited favor, my people. It is the love in action. You see, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, redemption, my people, is always connected with the grace of God. You see, the reason that God can save you and me is that Christ redeemed us. He paid the price. He died on the cross to make it available to us. You see, justification by faith is actually more than subtraction of our sins. That is, my people, watch this, forgiveness. It is the addition of the righteousness of Christ. You see, in other words, we are not merely restored to Adam's former position, but now we are placed in Christ, where we shall be throughout the endless ages of eternity, the sons of God. Just think about it. It was John Bunyan, they said, was driven almost to disgrace because he realized that he was such a great sinner with no righteousness of his own. And they said in the story that he said, when God showed me John Bunyan, as God saw John Bunyan, I no longer confessed I was a sinner, but I confessed I was sin from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I was so full of sin. And Bunyan, right, watch this, my people, he struggled with the problem of how he could stand in God's presence even with his sins forgiven. Where could he gain a standing before God was his question? And so, walking through the cornfields one night, watch this, people. He wrestled with this problem. The words of Paul, who was another great sinner for those that are Bible readers, who called himself the chief of sinners, came to him and his burden rolled off his shoulders. Did you hear me? He said his burden rolled off his shoulders. You see, the word from Paul was Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And when you read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, you're reading actually the story of Bunyan's life. And you will remember when Pilgrim came, you see, with that great burden on his shoulders through the slough of despond, he didn't know what to do until finally he came to the cross and there was the burden rolled off and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Stay with me. See, by his grace, right, is the way God saves us, my people. This is the fountain from which flow down the living waters of God in this age of grace. And if so, because of what God has done, sending his son to die, God is able to save by grace. You see, Paul, I believe, is in Ephesians 2:4. I believe in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, but God, say it with me, but God, who is rich in mercy. That means he has plenty of it for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sin, quicken us together in Christ. By grace, ye are saved. You see, it was said, I believe, that the grace of God is infinite love operating by an infinite means. I'm trying to give you the sacrifice of Christ and an infinite freedom unhindered now by the temporary restrictions of the law. See, today, my people, a holy God, right, is free to reach down to meet your needs, is what I need you to recognize. How wonderful it is to know a holy God is free to save those who will trust Christ. I believe also you got to recognize that everything connected with God's salvation is glad and bestowment, infinite in extent and unchangeable in its character, and is always available and only available in what? Christ Jesus. See, he alone could pay the price, my people, and as Peter put it to the nation Israel in Acts, I believe, chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, I'm giving you scripture tonight. I hope you're paying attention because that next verse, the next two verses come together because it says, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's break that down. Notice, my people, that it is faith in his blood. See, that blood speaks of his life. Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. And I tell you, when you put a knife in the body of a man and the blood pours out, that man is dead because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, in the life of Jesus Christ was given, that blood is the very precious thing according to Simon Peter. Now, these two verses, my people, are filled with words that are jawbreakers, propitiation, righteousness, remission. Although they are different words, don't too frightened of them, because when you boil them down to our size, I'm talking about me and you, how we get down to the nitty-gritty, we find that these two verses, we have what people call the very marrow of theology. I think it was Calvin that wrote, there is no probably in the whole Bible a passage which sets forth most profoundly the righteousness of God in Christ. God hath set forth. Okay, God is the sole architect of salvation, correct? And he is the only one today who is able to save. You see, you and I cannot save. Let's get it forever in our psyche. No religion can save. No church can save. Paul said to the Corinthians, I believe in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. How plainly else do you need it? He did that. He did that. Now, is he giving to us the ministry of reconciliation? So all that the Holy God is asking you and me to do is to be reconciled to him. You don't have to do anything to soften God's heart, my people. Man, right, who was an evangelist for years, and he always liked to get people to cry. I used to ask him how many tears you have to shed to soften God's heart, and he said, don't be ridiculous. I told him, I'm not being ridiculous, but you are. You say you've got to come down to the altar and shed some tears. My people, God's heart is already soft. He's long-suffering. All you got to do is what? Come. Did you hear him when what did he tell Peter? I want to walk on the water. What did he tell him? Come. You see, be reconciled to God. Christ has been set forth. That is, he has been exhibited or displayed. Now, to be a propitiation, point back to the time over 2,000 years ago when Christ was set forth as the Savior. Now, you will recall that the veil of the temple hid the mercy seat, and only the high priest could go in past that veil. But today, Christ has been set before us as the mercy seat. Speaking of the mercy seat, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9 and 5, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. You see, the Greek word for the mercy seat was hilasterion. It is the same word translated propitiation. You see, Christ has been set forth as the mercy seat. You recall that the poor publican cried out because he needed a mercy seat. Luke 18:13, God be merciful to me, a sinner, which is literally saying, God, if there were only a mercy seat for me, a poor publican, to come to. You see, when the Jew became a publican, he cut himself off from the temple and from the mercy seat that was there. Paul is saying that now there is on display a mercy seat. God has set for Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. See, it is a wonderful to know, my people, that we have a holy God who in joy and in sanctification and delight can hold out to the world today a mercy seat. And God doesn't reluctantly save you, my people. If you come, he saves you wholeheartedly, abundantly. Now, some people tell me that after I'm saved, I still got to search and pray and tarry for something more, my people. When I came to Jesus, I got everything according to Ephesians 1 and 3. Oh, how good he is. He didn't hold back anything neither. And he says, come. He can accept you. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I just gave you John 6, verse 37. Actually, you and I were shut out from a holy God, but the way now has been opened up for us by his blood. The word says to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That doesn't mean your sins and my sins of the past, my people. It means the sins of those who lived before the cross. You see, back in the Old Testament, they brought a little lamb, right? And I'm sure you don't take a little lamb to church to sacrifice. Today, it would be sinful to do that. But back then, my people, before Christ came, it was required. The law required it. Now that little lamb pointed to the coming of Christ. No one back in those days believed that the little lamb could take away sins. I don't think any of them did. Suppose you had been there when Abel brought a little lamb to God. Abel, do you think this little lamb is going to take away your sin? He would have said no. And you would have said, then why did you bring it? And his answer would have been, God required it. He commanded us to bring it. Hebrews, I believe, chapter 11, 4 tells us, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, he did it by revelation, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The only way Abel could have brought that sacrifice by faith was for God to have told him to bring it. And that is what God did. You see, you might have said to Abel specifically, what do you think God has in mind? And I think he would have said this. Well, God has told my mother that there's a coming, a Savior. We don't know when, but until he comes, we're to do this because we're to come by faith. And so the sins that are past means that up to the time when Christ died, God saved on credit. Ooh, I just blessed you. God did not save Abraham because he brought a sacrifice, my people. God never saved any of them because they brought a sacrifice. A sacrifice, my people, pointed to Christ. When Christ came, he paid for all the sins of the past and also with the sins that this side of the cross. See, to declare, I say, that at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, on this side of the cross, we don't bring a sacrifice, my people, but we are to trust in Christ and his blood. Now, Paul raises a question right here in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. My people, if God is saving by faith in Christ and not by your merit, your works, then where is boasting? What is it that you and I have to crow about? We can't even boast of the fact that we're fundamental in our doctrine. We have nothing to glory in today, my people. Paul asks, where is the boasting then? And he answers the question that he raises. Watch what he says. He says, it is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. You see, the word law in the first sentence, right? In its first instance, is not restricted to the Old Testament law, but means that the principle of law, anything that you think and that you can do. See, the second reference to law excludes the Old Testament law and means simply a rule or principle of faith. In other words, God has the human race not on the merit system, but on the basis of simply believing what he has done for us. Therefore, it excludes boasting. Come on now. You got to believe in order to receive. And then in verse 28, it's real simple. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You see, this is not a conclusion that Paul is coming to or even a summing up of what he has said. Rather, my people, he is giving an explanation of why boasting is excluded, because man is justified by faith. Now, Paul not only drives the nail in and turns the board over and clinches it, he lets them know. It doesn't matter who it is. Watch what he says in verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. You see, in other words, my people, does God belong to the Jews alone and not also to the Gentiles? And Paul says, yes, to the Gentiles also. Now, listen to this. This is a very cogent argument. Paul says, if justification is by the law, then God does belong to the Jews. But if justification is by faith, then he is the God of both Jews and Gentiles. Now, notice the logic of this, my people. If the Jew persisted in his position, then there must be two gods, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. But the Jew would not allow this. He was a monotheist, that is, he believed in one God. Probably the greatest statement that was ever given to the nation Israel was in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. That was the clarion message he gave in the pagan world before Christ came. And then I got to just finish it on out. Because in verse 30, he says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. See, in other words, there is only one God, my people. In the Old Testament, he gave man the law. Man failed. God didn't save them by their keeping the law. Salvation was always by sacrifice, which man brought in faith, pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we ended in verse 31, he asked, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. See, the reference to the law, I think, brings in another meaning of this word. It is not restricted to the Mosaic system here. Neither does it refer to just any law. Rather, my people, it refers to the entire Old Testament revelation. Faith excluded the works of the law. But abrogate the entire Old Testament revelation? Of course not. Paul would demonstrate in the next chapter by the Old Testament illustrations of two men, Abraham and David, that they did not exclude that. You see, these two men, these two key men, outstanding men, were saved, not by law, but by faith. To begin with, just so that you know, Abraham was born and lived and died 400 years before the law was ever given. Abraham did not live on the basis of the Mosaic law since it was not yet given in his day. See, God saved him on a different basis, which is by faith. And somebody said, well, then what about David? Now, very honestly, do you think David could have been saved by keeping the law? Of course he couldn't. The Old Testament made it very clear that David broke the law, and yet God saved him. And how? Well, I'm glad you asked. He saved him by faith. See, David trusted God and believed God. Even in his sin, he came in confession to God. God accepted him and saved him by faith. He said he loved David because he wanted us to have a heart like David, which meant that you're quick to repent. As soon as you mess up, as soon as you have a thought, as soon as you have an evil deed, repent. Like people think when they're sick, oh, by his stripes I'm healed. No, when you sin, by his stripes I'm healed. That it was for your sins. So today, my people, when you and I take the position that we're sinners and come to God and trust God as our Savior, regardless of who we are, where we are, or how we are, or when we are, God will save us. For God today has put man on one basis and one basis alone. His question is, what will you do with my son who died for you on the cross? What will you do for him that died for you? Does anybody want to talk about what y'all would do for him that died for you? I just want to give him all the honor, glory, and praise. I'm glad y'all had the opportunity to explore the mysteries of God tonight as we explored a very, very important subject, which was the availability of a righteousness from God. You see, we're recognizing who we are and whose we are as we walk into this new vision of 2022. And I want to share with you right quick from my bishop, my spiritual father of our beautiful church, Judah Tabernacle in Melvindale, Michigan, where it is a city of true diversity. Now, our vision for Judah 22, according to Bishop Cedric A. Robinson, is this. In this season, expect the Lord to manifest his glory. Many have professed a great shaking to occur. It is in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where it says, the Lord says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. You see, a great shaking will occur for the glory of God and will cause many to come to Christ. Miracles upon miracles will also manifest through the Holy Spirit during this glorious shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So in 2022, believe that God's shaking will upgrade everything in you. You see, Satan has been attacking our nations through family connections, my people, and those who have distanced themselves from God. You see, they have been susceptible to worldly corruptions, and God is about to wake us all up by shaking things up. See, corruption within the church and the world will be exposed, but God has always dealt with the church first before going public. So pay attention, watch, listen. See, our youth, my people, will experience a movement of holiness, and thousands, right, will be converted through the use of social media. Yeah, I said it. I'm on social media all the time. I got a lot of young kids that hit me up in the DM and thank me for the word, and I'll be like, wow, they're paying attention. God will use you. Let him use you, because in this next season, God is restoring lost vision, lost hope, and lost ground in fulfilling his purpose in the earth. See, God has used worldly corruptions, devastations, and plagues to turn our attention back to him. So I need you to make a list of things that Satan has stolen from you and exact double for your trouble, according to Isaiah 61 and 7. I need you to believe God for new ideas, to create and develop jobs that will result in the wealth that will transfer the promise. You see, the key of Isaiah 2022 is the open door. You see, new opportunities for jobs, wealth, business startups, and blessings will be open. Blessings that you were expecting in 21 got delayed, but the spirit of delay is broken in 22. The blessing of God will manifest with interest. Yeah, I said it. You see, the Hebrew alphabet, guess what? It contains how many? 22 letters. It begins with Alpha and ends with Omega. I believe it was Revelations 22, 12 and 13, which records Jesus saying, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega. You see, this will be a back to the Bible year, back to business with the flesh. Oh, with a fresh move on the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to tell you, 2022, I need you to expect the extraordinary thing from God to appear, which is those open doors, those unstoppable breakthroughs, and those unprecedented favors. You see, believers, be limitless in your faith and expect an acceleration of his presence in your lives. In 2022, you're going to have to make it do what it do, Jim Hsu. I'm talking to you. Let's get it going. I'm so glad we had an opportunity to get in here tonight. Does anybody across the world would like to come on here and end us with a prayer this evening? If you do, raise your hand. All you got to do is press one. Anybody? All right. What we got here? We got a 8815.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say a thing. You said the main things that is true, that people ought to get close to God because this world is coming through a turmoil, and God see it all. But you can't see it in yourself. And I just want to thank you for what you have been doing for the past year. I just got with you. I thank God is doing great things in your life, and I thank he's planning on doing great things in my life. And I'm just going on with the flow, and let it, whatever it is, go happen, it's going to happen. But I'm going to just go pray it out. Gracious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, you come on once more again on a Wednesday night, coming to you, asking for a favor from you, O Lord. Just thanking you for what you have done for me. Just thanking you for what you brought me through, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Because you've been mighty good to me, O Lord. Just want to give you glory to your name, Father. Father, if it wasn't for you, O Lord, I wouldn't know where I would be, O Lord. But you made a way. And I'm just saying, thank you, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Because you've been mighty good to me, O Lord. Bless the people on this social media line, Father. Testing right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Touch the sick and the weak everywhere, Father, that they need you right now, O Lord. And these are asking your precious Son, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Calvin, for that beautiful prayer. Now I got 1157. You are now live on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Michelle.
All right.
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan, and earlier you was my Uber driver. But again, I want to come over here and give God the glory and the victory because he deserves everything, and he's a way maker. And I just want to tell you guys, without this peace right here in your life, without the Holy Ghost, I promise you, you're nothing. You're living like a zombie because the Holy Ghost will lead you even when you don't even know which way, which path, or where to go, where to turn. I tell you, I don't move without God. I can't even get my day started without God. So I don't make no extra, I don't just go out here making no extra moves. I don't, move on my own understanding. I let God move and order my footsteps every single day, every single moment, every single hour and second of my life. Especially, I have 5 children that's looking up to me, and I don't want to make the wrong turn or the wrong decision. If you know, on my own, because I do have people that's looking up to me, you know, to get to their destination, because we all is helping each other get to the destination that God to be in, the positions that God wants us to be. So again, I appreciate you coming on here, giving that beautiful word. Again, we all have to sit together. And, of course, yes, the world will be coming to an end. But, again, God is still so great and so wonderful that he's still giving everybody an opportunity and a chance to turn their lives around to him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for my life, because at 16, I could have not been here. At 16 years old, I was shot, and I could have lost my life right then and there. But the mercy of hallelujah was on my life. The grace and the mercy was on my life. The Lord's blood was on my life, that I did not die, and I will live to do the works of the Lord for the rest of my life. And my children will live to do the works of the Lord for the rest of their lives. So, again, I just want to thank the Lord, give him all the praise and the glory for just being a mighty, mighty, glorified God to us. To let me see 2022 was a honor and a pleasure and a blessing for all of us. And, again, I just want to tell everybody that's listening that I truly love y'all. Even if I don't know y'all, I love y'all so dearly. And I will keep y'all in my prayers. I will keep y'all uplifted. I don't know what nobody going through on here, but everybody going through some challenges. The challenges is for your faith. So, again, please, please, whatever you do, keep your faith. If you don't have nothing else, just know the storm don't last forever. So I appreciate y'all, and I appreciate the word that you have, the inspiring words that you've been giving us. And it's strictly from the Bible. So, again, when you have the Holy Ghost, it come pure. God will not sugarcoat anything to you guys. Once you have the Holy Ghost, everything will come clearly and pure. He's not going to sugarcoat it. So it's important to please get baptized and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's very important to save your soul. And it's very important to protect your soul, like you're protecting your child or your life, because it's very precious. It's a wonderful gift. So I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to get on here and just express myself and just give, you know, the glory and the mercy to our Lord Jesus. And, yes, that's all I had to say. I'm just so grateful.
Amen,
you know?
Amen, my sister. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. See how God works. He just puts us all together. This is what I'm talking about. And I was talking about, which is the community of believers. I'm so big on this. Now, when I talk about community, my people, what does that word bring to mind? You see, Jesus, my people, prayed that the community of believers would be known for unity, joy, growth in truth, and urgency of mission. That's John chapter 17. And for those that don't know, John biblically means grace, and the number 17 means power over the enemy, victory over the enemy. Now, I told you the word unity, that means to protect them so that they may be as one as we are one. You see, Jesus asked the Father to let unity be a defining mark of the church. See, unity doesn't mean uniformity. You see, we all bring our respective personalities to the mix, but in our diversity, we can still demonstrate love to the world around us. Then there's joy. May they have the full measure of my joy within them. You see, one of the greatest benefits of community, my people, is the encouragement that it brings. Believing friends are there to remind us that our joy can only be satisfied by our Creator. Then I talk about growth and truth. You see, it says protect them from the evil one. You see, our Christian community has the unique ability to confront and correct us when we astray from the truth. See, it's the role of our community to help us again fix our eyes on the gospel. And then last but not least, the urgency of mission. He says, I have sent them into the world. You see, their Christians were never intended, my people, to isolate from the outside world. You see, Jesus calls us to live in the community. I just gave you Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. See, our primary relationships with believers gives weight and urgency to our other relationships, which is our unbelieving friends. You see, we gather to pray with and for one another. Then we go outside the church to serve, love, and invite others into our relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I'm just blessing you tonight, giving you some biblical game. And before I go, I'm going to pray you on out so that we can do this together. Father God, I'm thanking you for another day that you have brought upon us, keeping us away from sickness, disease, or harm, or danger, or spiritual death, and our poverty. Father, I'm thanking you in advance for all the glorious ways of prosperity that you may come to pass in our lives, from health to wealth to family. Spread your love right now. But Heavenly Father, I need you to help them right now, your lost souls, that is, to develop a trust and a faith in you that will reflect the simplicity of childlike faith that so rejoices your heart, and which is so evident in the lives of little children, and let which seems to evaporate in a vapor as soon as we reach the age of maturity. Father, may we develop a wonder and an amazement at the glorious redemption story, and a deep humility that we approach your thrice holy throne of grace to ask in our time of need. So, Father, we're giving you all the honor, glory, and praise this evening. And it's in your master's mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like to thank everybody that came on tonight. I see we have people from all over, and I'm just glad that you shared this moment with me. 1 year, Blog Talk Radio, more to come. Time to let the world know. And remember, my famous three words that I believe in the most, that Jesus is Lord. Good night, everyone.
Yeah.